You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Restaurants have had to adapt in the age of coronavirus or face going out of business. And as restaurants across the country continue to close with millions of jobs on the line, well, change, it is necessary for survival. But for Boise chef Chris Komori, adaptation has also become a means of community building. During a time of economic uncertainty in the restaurant industry, while the country grapples with a racial justice reckoning, he is working to bring folks together over a shared love for good local food. Chris is a James Beard nominated chef and co-owner of Kin, a new restaurant in the capital city. And yes, it is a new restaurant. It actually opened during the pandemic. Chris is joining us live by Zoom now to talk about how he and his team have made adaptation a habit. Chris, good to have you on the show.
Hi, Gemma. Yeah, thank you for having me.
So can you take us back to early March when you were literally just about to open your brick and mortar indoor restaurant, Kin? This was before Governor Little's stay-at-home order, but then COVID-19 was beginning to spread around the country. So what was it like? I mean, being on the verge of opening literally, and then there's a pandemic right at the doorstep.
Ironic timing for sure. We actually got occupancy of our space the day after Boise restaurants were shut down for indoor dining. So it was it was frantic trying to get a restaurant open. And then, I think our emotions within it were similar to a lot of people, where it was just utter confusion and not knowing what was going to happen. But, you know, to a certain degree, we were a little bit fortunate that we hadn't fully opened, because mm-hmm. we didn't have a system set. We had something on paper, but we had never actually executed it. So people have said, you know, we've adapted and we've pivoted and things like that, but we didn't really have anything to pivot off of. This is just how we started as a business. So,
and some folks may actually know your food from your time as head chef of State and Lamp. This was a pretty intimate fine dining restaurant in Boise with a prefix menu. So is the concept similar or is it different from what you did at State and Lamp?
Well, initially the thought was that we were going to basically pick up that concept and drop it down in a new place, upgraded, new digs, and attach a cocktail bar with an a la carte menu next to it. So that was the original thought. Since then, you know, we realized that the experience of having that shared connected dining experience just can't happen right now, nor will it happen for at least another 6 to 8 months, we would assume. So we had to very quickly say that, you know, it was hard to make the decision, but we said that that's just not in our near future. And what is in our near future? And then we started to go from there. So we've always been very thoughtful and detail oriented in the things we do. And priorities for us have been local food and seasonality and making sure that we're still having fun and we're laid back about it. Now our priority is safety, not only for our guests, but for our crew. And so any system that we started to develop from there had that as the forefront and became outdoor only, completely contactless. And we're actually pretty proud of what we've developed. So
we'll get to what you've developed in a minute, but I want to go back to the middle of March. And I mean, it's funny because it seemed not funny, but it seems like it was, you know, years ago, not, you know, 7 months ago. So, you know, you were just about to open. So I'm assuming you'd hired people. What had to happen after that? I mean, did you have to lay employees off? You know, as you were trying to figure out how you were going to, you know, open.
Yeah. So we probably had hired the kitchen staff a month before. We had hired most of our front of house within 14 days. And we had to sit everyone down and say, we sat people down on the Saturday before and said, hey, this looks like something that might happen. And then 5 days later, we were like, no, this is definitely happening. So it was really hard, because what actually happened, we found out, was a lot of our employees were denied unemployment just based on them voluntarily leaving previous jobs to come to work for us. And they didn't have enough of a track record of history with us. So not only were we actually had to furlough a bunch of people, but then we had to bring them back home because they were denied unemployment. So we didn't feel comfortable just letting them be out there. So we brought them back in and paid them what we could. And that's kind of how we started, was we needed to do as much as we could to keep our people that, you know, didn't make it into the system correctly. They, you know, we had to make sure that they were taken care of.
And with that being said, Chris, one of the things you did was start Kin at Home in April. I mean, and you know, this was at that time, and I think a lot of people still feel this way. You want to support local businesses. You want to support local restaurants. I mean, their restaurants were hit so incredibly hard, especially, you know, local restaurants. So you started doing it. And so it's not really traditional takeout, because what you did, I think this is super cool. You did like a meal kit service. And how did you come up with this idea? Because it's like you gave everybody the ingredients and basically directions, and then they kind of finished what you started in the meal kit.
Yeah, that's exactly it. We like to say that we do 90% of the work, but the important 10% is up to the guest. And to be honest, that's kind of the fun part. It's the plating. It's like, you know, if you're into food and things like that, you know, you can kind of geek out on it a little bit. We'd love to be there, you know, cooking for and alongside people, but we can just do it virtually now. So we do tutorial videos that we're extremely awkward in, and we have you know, like a very lengthy kind of typed up explanation of kind of how to walk people through. Yeah. But it is really fun. It's a little bit of us still making a connection with people. It is definitely a little bit on the fancier side. But we're working on things for the winter that'll be a little bit pared down so that we can get our food to people, maybe more on a weekly basis. So.
I love that idea, because I have to tell you, when there's lots of ingredients, I get overwhelmed. So I appreciate that. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Boise chef and Kin restaurant co-owner Chris Camori about adapting in the time of coronavirus. So while the brick and mortar restaurant was on pause, Chris, you actually started working on City of Good. Can you tell us quickly what that is?
Yeah, definitely. So it started in that March time where it was a little bit hectic. I got together multiple daily meetings with Dave Crick at Bitter Creek and Michelle Anderson and Jin Yang at the Boise Co-op. And we just started talking about how we were going to feed the hospitality industry that was going to get laid off in droves. Dave was really good about it. And he said, you know, we can't just be giving handouts, that we have to get these people back to work, because a big fear of ours was mental health and depression kind of runs rampant through the restaurant industry. So we knew that just kind of letting people float out there was a dangerous setting. So we wanted to get restaurant workers back to work, whether that be cooking or delivering or anything. We wanted to feed a needy community. And then we wanted to support the local farms, because at the time we weren't sure if all these restaurants closed, where are these farmers going to sell things? So upon those three pillars, that's kind of how we started. And since then, we've gathered an amazing team of community leaders. I'm learning a ton from them, so I appreciate that. We managed to partner with the Boise School District, and we were sending out a need that is pre-COVID and will unfortunately be post-COVID, and that is food for the Title I schools, food over the weekend. So we call them weekend fuel kits, and we have 7 participating restaurants that build these kits that have 6 to 7 meals within them, enough food to sustain a child over the weekend.
Wow.
And with this partnership, we're able to have every restaurant build these kits. They get picked up, they get delivered to the school district and distributed to the kids that need it. So it's a really cool program. I mean, it's a very different thing from going to from a high-end tasting menu to us cooking food for kids that needs to nutritionally sustain them over a weekend. Yeah. But it is so rewarding for our crew, everyone involved. So.
And also with City of Good, Chris, you're thinking about this in connection with racial and economic inequality as well, correct?
Yeah. You know, as hard as it is just to keep our morale up and the business going, we early on, and we still realize that the restaurant industry globally has been decimated. It's just been totally rocked. And while on one hand that is extremely sad, it's something that we've all grown up in. On the other hand, there are opportunities to maybe get a foot in the door and to make waves and make changes in things that we know are not the best within this industry. Kitchens mm-hmm. in particular can be pretty archaic in a lot of the ways that they're run. That is racial issues, that is gender issues, that's pay as well. And while we know that we are not going to just make a difference immediately, it's about gathering other people within the community and businesses and putting the hard work in and trying to make steps towards these goals of a more sustainable wage, of a more accepting and thoughtful and intelligent way that we run as restaurants.
You know, Chris, it's amazing, I think, in times of crises where you see people either rise up or not, right? And to hear you talk about City of Good and, you know, this partnership with the Boise School District, but also taking on racial and economic inequality. I mean, I think if the pandemic hadn't hit, you would have opened your restaurant. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but would you be in this place today if you would just open your restaurant and business as usual?
There's no way. There's no way. I think we had to get knocked down in order to realize and to see what is important to us. We are a restaurant, but I think any small business, any business can be much more than the thing that they just do right in front of them. We have changed just in the way that we look at food too, because again, we kind of had this celebratory experience before. Food is, you know, a Maslow necessity, and we understand that on a totally different level now. We still want to make these fun experiences for people to maybe get out of their daily routine and to celebrate things, because that's still very, very important, even more so now. But we see the other side of it, and we understand how the impact that food can have on people. It's not just physically, but it's nourishment, and it's emotionally as well. So without this, we definitely would not be where we are.
And I think, you know, speaking of that emotional, you know, connection, right? And that needing to just, I think, you know, truly connect. In the summer, you launched Picnic, and these are dinners on that grassy hill on the corner of 9th and Main in Boise. This is right outside your restaurant space. And for folks who may not be familiar, it's where Angel's Restaurant used to be. And if we take it all the way back, that is where the Idaho Shakespeare Festival was back in the day. Yeah. I mean, a long time ago. So there is, what I love about this, Chris, is there's such history just on that little hill, you know, right? And you've brought back not just, you know, food, but you brought back performances. And that's really kind of what that grassy hill, if you talk to anybody that grew up in Boise, you know, in the 70s and 80s, that's what, you know, that's actually what they remember.
Yeah, I've been in Boise for close to 8 years now, and I hadn't seen anything happen on the hill. Now, we're extremely lucky that we have access to it. Our landlords were more than helpful in getting that going for us. So we understand that we're very, very fortunate, and not many, if any, restaurants have an opportunity like we did. So we didn't want to squander it. We also said, well, this is our opportunity to make sure that no one comes inside of our beautiful new space. But the other part of it, again, is we had plans to do events with Idaho Shakespeare and maybe a couple through the summer. We didn't realize that that was going to be our lifeblood. But it's opened up these amazing partnerships with Duck Club and a bunch of other performing artists and things like that. And now we see, you know, we never thought we'd be a venue, but we also see a creative artistic side through music and through dance and through performance that is inspiring to us in the kitchen. So just like many things, you know, we're getting a lot of benefits amongst a little bit of the chaos.
So before I let you go, are you going to be trying to do indoor service as we go into the winter months? Or, I mean, because the picnic idea, I'm assuming in the middle of, you know, December, you can't necessarily sit outside on the lawn.
Yeah, we're going to run the picnics through October, and then we'll kind of do little pop-up events in November, as we just don't want to plan anything and have the weather be too bad. We're hoping that people bundle up and maybe wear a jacket and bring an extra blanket for some quick events that we'll do through there. We are going to ramp up our pickup and to go into a subscription format that will allow us to get food to people more consistently. And then we are mulling over the idea of bringing people inside, although it's not going to be how most places are. We are very aware that how the virus kind of lives inside. We have air filters and everything like that, but we're still a little bit hesitant. But what we are going to try to do is to sell, we're calling them bubble parties. And essentially, if you're comfortable in a bubble, you can come in and sort of buy out one half of the restaurant and we'll have food waiting for you. We'll still be contactless and we will be protecting ourselves and our guests, but we're just going to, feeling out how the community's comfort level is with indoors.
Well, Chris, I want to thank you for taking time out of your day. I just, what an inspiring conversation with you and all the good that has come from this. So just much appreciation and kudos to you for what you are doing for the community. We've been talking with Boise chef and restaurant co-owner, Chris Komori of Kin. Again, Chris, thanks so much for the time.
Yeah, thank you very much. And just really quickly, I would like to say that it, you know, it's not just us, it's not just me, it's my crew, but it's not just Kin. We're a collective of many other businesses that are trying to push forward. So I'm speaking on behalf of them a little bit, but it's the City of Good team and it's the Boise Anti-Racism Coalition that are, we're just a piece of the puzzle and we're proud to be making steps forward.
Well, and have you been the voice of that. So thank you for doing this. More Idaho Matters next.